beginning in verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17.
This morning we're going to talk about a little word that everybody knows. In probability, we can go back into our minds and into our past, and this is probably one of the first words we remember as a child, and we've been hearing that word ever since. You know, God has always placed restrictions on man. He has always found ways to tell us no. And there are always things about our lives that are wrong, things that need to be changed. And we do not hesitate to tell other people no when we see changes that need to be made. And sometimes we have to hear this word ourselves. It's a word that we don't like to hear, and it's a word that a lot of people like to use. So today we're going to talk about the little word no. The first time that it was used in Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17. Ronnie read part of this to us in the reading earlier. God has told Adam and Eve no to one thing, one command, as they are in the Garden of Eden. No to eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. He also said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You know, God has found ways throughout Scripture to tell us no. To let us know that this is something that we do not need in our life. In fact, in the Mosaical Law, we take a look at it, and we find 8 of the 10 commandments is a no. Thou shalt not. Things that should not be a part of our lives. Things that we should not participate in. Things that if we go ahead and participate in it, it is going to cause us great grief, great difficulty. It might even cost us our lives and can cost us our souls. You know, no is a very small word. It is a very powerful word, though, in our lives. As I said earlier, it's probably one of the first words we heard as children. You know, when babies grow to the point to where they can reach out and grab, or they can walk up and move things around, well, that's a word you use with them. No, you don't do that. So it was probably one of the first words that we learned as a child. You know, even our pets understand the word no. I had a little dog growing up as a child, and my little dog, he loved to bark. And he would bark at anything and everything, even at a fly as it flew across him. And it became annoying because he was a small dog and he had a sharp, crisp bark that would just get on that last nerve. You know what I'm talking about? And he would start barking, and I could point my finger at him and I could say, sport, no. And he would stop. The head would go down, the tail would tuck between his legs, but now he was a little stubborn. I don't know who got that from. He hadn't met Pat yet, so I don't know how he could have got that. He was a little stubborn, and he looked up at me, and he's going to get that last little bark in. So he'd look up at me, and he'd go, and he was going to do that regardless. Now, cats, they're totally different. Most of y'all remember our cat, Smokey. Now, Smokey was totally different. You could yell no to him, and boy, he's gone. You're not going to see him for a while. He's going to see to it that you don't yell at him again. But they understand that word. Sometimes they understand it better than we do, don't they? Who in here loves to be told no for something? Because usually it's something that you want. or it's something that you want to do, something that you want to have, somewhere you want to go. And if somebody comes up to you and says, no, you can't do that, we don't want to hear that, do we? You know, a few years ago, Nancy Reagan, when Mr. Reagan was president, she started a program to just say no when it come to fighting drugs. And everybody thought that was just so funny. Oh, yeah, right, like just saying no to somebody's gonna stop them in their tracks. But you know, it worked for a lot of people. Just saying no was one of the few things that actually worked. Today's generation, well, we just turn our noses up at that thought. You know, we have ways of stopping people from saying no. We don't say no anymore. There are teaching institutions today that can't tell their children no. They can't teach their children manners. They can't teach them how they need to behave themselves. Isn't that sad? But now here's a hard thought. People who cannot properly accept and use the word no usually don't amount to very much in life. And we've all seen it, and we know that to be true. You know, no is not a very large word. In most languages, it's a very small word. In Russian, it's нет. In German, nein. In Italian, na. They don't even put the W on, they just say na. And you can read on the screen here some of the other words that I picked the most famous languages, and they're all very small words. But they mean the very same thing. Don't do that. Don't say that. Don't act that way. No. So it's a word that we must learn, and every disciplined person will learn to say no and learn to accept no. The meaning of righteousness is to be able to say no to the devil. Now, we talked about the devil last Sunday in our sermon. And it was about giving the devil a black eye. You want to give the devil a black eye? Tell him no. Yeah, tell him no. Our relationship to God depends upon our ability to accept no. Thou shalt not. And to listen to the gospel as it tells us not to behave in certain ways. You know, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, this word deny comes from the Greek word orneoma, which simply means to abstain from or to refuse. So, when we're going to follow Jesus, we have to literally abstain from our own wants, our own desires, and deny ourselves from these things, say no to these things, if we are going to follow Christ. You know, no is a little word, but it takes a big person to use it. Now, we all know that in today's society, conformity and getting along is important. In fact, conformity and getting along has always been important in society. And it's important to us. We all want to get along, don't we? Now, I have to admit, I have met some folks in my lifetime who didn't bother to get along with people. And they didn't mind letting you know they're not going to get along with you and they'll make life difficult for you. Those are exceptions to the rule. For the most part, though, we want to be congenial, don't we? We want to be able to get along with people around us. Most independent-minded people can do it. But we're all called to say no. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. every person in this room who was a Christian has emphatically said no to sin. Now, before you became a Christian, that was not the case. You gave in to sin. You said okay to sin. You said yes to sin. You never probably said it, but in essence, you were saying, I love sin. But the day we put on Christ, we should have held our hands up high, pointed our finger to the sky, and say no to sin. Sin is no longer a part of my life. Satan, I am going to have nothing else to do with you. I am not going to give in to this world. I am not going to give in to my passions, my desires, my wants that are contrary to your will. I am going to follow you, deny myself in the process. That's what saying no is to a Christian. Now, Jesus, he said no three times to Satan in three temptations that I call absolutely ridiculous, especially the last one when Satan offered Jesus the glories of the world. Well, it was the world that Jesus himself had created. Where was the temptation in that? Why would you tempt Jesus to jump off of a building? Why would you tempt him to make bread out of stones? He could have done that easily enough. But they were three ridiculous temptations. Now look over your life. Look at the different ways that Satan has tempted you in your life. Do you not find that same ridiculous thought there? The things that Satan tempts you with is ridiculous. It is silly. It is out of the way. It can't possibly do you any good. So why would you say yes to these things? We must learn to say no to the devil. But too often, we are tempted to say yes. And we don't have to have the devil to take us up on a high mountain and show us the world and the power and the riches and the glory of it. Sometimes all we need to do is just look across the street. We look across the street at what the neighbor has. Look at that fine house he has. Look at that fine car he drives. Look at all the money he has in the bank. And we become envious. And we begin to think within ourselves, how can I get that? No, folks. That's not what it's all about. That's not what God is looking for us to accomplish in our lives. Tell these things no. These things in a few years are going to be gone. They're worthless. Your soul is valuable. Say yes to God and no to these things. You know, the ability to say no is really only for those who are free. Now, those of us here who are Christians today, we are free people. We are free from what? We are free from sin. We are free from not free from the temptations of Satan, but we are free from giving in to it. We have God. You see, slaves can't say no. They have to do what their masters indicate in life. They are not free to do with us as they please. But an independent person like you and me, we can say no to things in our lives that we don't want, that we don't like. And yet so many people today give up their independence because they can't say no. They can't walk away from something that can hurt them, something that can cause them harm, something that can destroy them and destroy their soul. Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 16, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slave whom you obey? Whether it is sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness." In other words, we have the privilege, we have the ability to look Satan in the eye and say, no, I will not do this. I will not have a part of this. You and I can do that. But yet many today are captive to this slavery system, simply because we can't say no to things. The things that come to us are usually pretty, they're shiny, they're worth, they look like they're worth a lot, and we've just got to have it. And it takes a big person to say no to these things. You know, saying no is the key to personal strength as a child of God. You know, we often teach our children that Samson was the strongest man in the world. And yes, he was. He was very strong. But when was he strong? Somebody says, well, till he got a haircut. Well, that's in essence true. But that's not why Samson lost his strength. Samson lost his strength when he could not say no any longer. Delilah came to him three times trying to turn him against God and getting him to tell the reason for his strength. And he was able to say no to her twice. But then the third time she came to him, he said yes. And when she found out where his strength lied, she took it from him by cutting his hair. Samson was only strong when he said no. When he gave in, he grew weak and he lost. You know, being able to say no is almost a standalone definition to character strength. You know, I found this marquee. I may put this out front. A man that can't say no is spineless. You know what that means? Only the coward says yes. The coward never stands up for himself. The coward never stands up for what is right. The coward can't say no. He only gives in to the things that are wrong. It's easy to say yes. It's easy to go along with the crowd. But it's hard to be different and say no. But there is strength in saying no. You know, no has kept millions from sin and from evil companions. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. In other words, when sinners entice you, say no. Have nothing to do with it. Walk away from it. Run if you have to. But because it's so easy to say yes. Paul said evil companionship corrupt good morals. And you may have good morals. You may be going in the right direction and someone stand in front of you and offer you something that is wrong and it may look so good, you just say, well, I just got to have that. So you say yes to this thing. And it's evil. And I guess we've all done it. We choose our friends and associates with care. Because you see, they can influence us a lot more than we know. And they can influence us a lot more than we want to think that they can. Even with our closest thing, our closest friends, sometimes we have to look at them and say, no way, I will not do this. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. The latter part of that verse says that a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And to say yes to things that are sinful, well, Solomon said it. No is the word that will protect virtue. It was the no of a slave that protected the home of Potiphar. We all know the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. Genesis chapter 39, beginning with verse 7, it says, and it came to pass that after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes upon Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. He said no. We know a lot of people in this life who was faced with this very same situation, who could not say no. God preserve us from these situations. And he can help us preserve ourselves from these situations by just saying no. No is the word that protects justice in our lives. I bring to your attention Pilate. Pilate gave in to the crowd who clamored for Jesus' crucifixion. One of the most amazing things about Jesus' crucifixion is the same crowds who just a few days earlier had been shouting, "Hosanna to the King, glory to the King," is now saying, "Crucify him." Pilate should have had the courage to say no, because he understood and knew that Jesus was an innocent man. But he did not have the courage to preserve justice and to honor his court by doing the right thing. So instead, he does this. When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather with a tumult that was rising, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." He gave them leeway to go and put Jesus to death, claiming, "I will be innocent of this." He could not tell them no. And then finally, no is the word that protects us from violating God's word. You know, when I think about this, I think about 1 Kings chapter 13, the story of the young prophet who stood up to King Jeroboam and he said no. In the beginning of verse 8 it said, "If you were to give me half of your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came.'" So he went another way and did not return the same way to Bethel. He looked at King Jeroboam and he said, "I'm not going to do this. I'm a prophet of God. God has told me to say no." And he said no. Now, wouldn't it have been a wonderful thing if this is where this story ends? But it doesn't end here, does it? Instead, this deceitful old prophet comes to the young prophet and said, "Hey, I got a prophecy from God too. God told me to take you home with me and take care of you." And the young man listened to the lie. And if you can see the screen, you see what happened to him. He was attacked by a lion and killed. And the lion and the man's donkey was sitting there waiting when people found him. My friends, if he had said no and meant it and kept that no in his heart, his story would have been different. Today, when you give in to sin, it is because you cannot say no. Friends, there is a powerful lesson from this little word. A powerful lesson for us. Because no will keep us in line with God's word. Because if it's not from God's word, it is the way of death. And the young prophet here proves that. So before I close this lesson, I want to leave you with one other thought. We've all been talking about no. No this, no that. No to the world. No to Satan. No to sin. But there's something we don't need to forget. We don't need to forget the yes. Because we need to say yes to God and say no to sin at the same time. And we need to understand that we never need to forget the word yes. Because yes only has meaning in the presence of no. Because when you and I said yes to Christ, we said no to sin. When we confess that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, our Lord, our Savior, we were declaring that Satan no longer controls us. He is no longer our God. He is no longer the one we live for. You see, you cannot be for something unless you're against something else. And you certainly can't do both at the same time. Jesus said, Matthew 12, verse 30, "He who is not with me is against me. He who does not gather with me scatters abroad." Always remember, friend, you cannot say yes to both God and the world. Something, someone has to be told no. Today, my friends, if you are not a Christian, say no to the world and give your life to Jesus. Say yes to Him. Say yes, you believe in Him. Yes, you will repent of your sins. Yes, you will confess Him as God's Son. Yes, you will be buried in baptism for the remission of your sins. And in saying all of those yeses, you are saying no to the devil and saying no to sin. And remember that because we say yes to the Lord now, He will say yes to you in judgment. Christian friend, have you said no to the one you once said yes to? Have you gone back into the world and said yes to it and left God out of your life? You need to change today. God is waiting for you to come back to Him and say, "Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I repent of my sins. Yes, I want to be back in the fold of safety." And He'll bring you back. But again, you have to say no to the world. It's a little word, folks, but boy, it sure is powerful. So I invite you today, say no to sin. Say yes to the Lord. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.